right. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse number 1. I'm gonna just pick up with this. I know we went over some of these things last time, but just for some good context here, he says, "For all this, I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God." We talked about that hand of God a little bit last time. And it says, "No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them." One thing that Solomon is looking at under the sun, here's a man that had all this wisdom he asked for of God. And we've talked about there's two different kinds of wisdom, a heavenly wisdom, earthly wisdom. And he's got wisdom, but there's so much he doesn't know. And that's one thing about life, is you're going to see the unpredictableness of life. And there's so much you don't know. That's like, okay, you got things that's in the hand of God, but you don't know as far as living and look at things under the sun, because of the things that happen to the righteous and the wicked kind of equal out sometimes. You don't know by looking at things under the sun whether God loves you or not. That's why you have to go by the Word of God. Because if you went by what went on in this world, you would think that God did not love the righteous and that he loved the wicked, because oftentimes things good happen to wicked people and things bad happen to righteous people. So just looking at it under the sun, you say, I don't know what's going on here. Is this the hand of God? Is it not the hand of God, or what? But if you've got the Bible, thank God. He had limited revelation. Now we've got the revelation, the mystery that was given to Apostle Paul. We can look at things, you can understand things that, man, I mean, they just wish they knew. Isn't this a blessing? And so you've got this thing here in verse number 2. He says, "All things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and the wicked, to the good and to the clean and to the unclean." It says, "To him that sacrificeth and to him that sacrificeth not, as is the good, so is the sinner. And he that sweareth as he that feareth an oath." Man, first of all, I want to back up and say something about the hand of God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:16, we got the mind of Christ. One thing that I see is you look at so-called Christianity today as to what things should be, is you see people, one reason why they can't figure things out is because they look at the hand of God instead of the mind of Christ. So many people want what God can give them. What can he give me? God, you need to bless me, bless me, and bless me, and bless me, and all this stuff. And you know what? If we would do what the order is, the old acronym is JOY. Jesus first, others second, and yourself last. The joy comes from serving the Lord Jesus Christ and trying to get his mind about things. Okay, what would God think about this? And then you wouldn't have to worry about the hand or whether you got blessed or not. Why? Because you realize today you're already blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly place. Look, I'm as blessed as anybody could ever think of. It's just that right now, oftentimes, I don't know how to apply them things because I got so much to learn about the Lord Jesus Christ. The problem is we need to learn more about who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ and be able to actually appropriate the blessings that he's already given us. That's one of the things. Is the more I read the Bible, I say, if you could ever grab a hold of the fact that you are eternally secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we've heard that. But once it settles in on your mind and you say, you know what, of all the craziness that could happen in this world, one thing that I do not have to worry about is the fact that I know I'm going to heaven with the Lord. That's one thing that I don't have to worry about. Grabbing that will bless your heart so much. Why? Because there's people out there that literally think that they have to keep it. I'm just gonna level with you, man. I'd just have to give up. If I thought I had to keep it, when you look at all those commands in that Bible, I tell you something, Lord, if the Lord allows this thing, and we make it up there and all this stuff, I'm one of my first messages is going to be Romans 12. That Romans 12, just go try to apply all that stuff just rest with the rest of this week. It's some things in there that's tough to apply.
Yes, it is.
And the only way to do it, you can't do it in your strength. The only way to do it is in the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right. You can do it if you yield to Him. But I'm going to tell you something. If I was sitting there going, if I don't do this right here, man, I'm going to lose it. I just, whoa, that's too much. You can't do it in your strength. That's why you have to let the Lord Jesus Christ work. You have to work out what He works in. Okay, it'll frustrate. Things frustrate you if you don't look at the mind of Christ. That's like this thing about this righteousness, wickedness, clean, good and unclean. Him that sacrificed it, okay? In the Old Testament, they had a sacrificial system set up under the law. And he's saying, hold on, I'm seeing a thing here. There's somebody come up to sacrifice, and the him that sacrificed is not. There's a good man, and then there's a sinner. Back then, they called Gentiles sinners. Even in Galatians, he talked about sinners of the Gentiles. So, you know, the thing is, what he's saying is, oftentimes there's somebody that's swearing, and they don't keep their word. And here's another guy that keeps his oath. And oftentimes, the one who swears and breaks his word and stuff like that, he still has good things happen to him. And the man that kept the oath, bad things happen to him. So what's going on here? You got to realize, under the sun, under the earth, you can't figure that it's unpredictable. And we're going to see this as we go along. But you can't look at things like that. Why? Because God is not finished here on the earth. That's why we have to look at things under heaven and from a heaven standpoint and not earthly standpoint. And that's why it's starting to get confusing even to a wise man. But the trouble is, his wisdom is limited to under the sun. All right, he says, this is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil. Man, you better believe that. The Bible says in Ephesians, the days are evil over there. Their hearts are... Look, we talking about not watching the news and all that stuff. If you want to see how evil the days are, just turn on the news, the evening news for 5 minutes and just get completely, utterly depressed at all the killing, the murdering, shooting and robbing. That's why it's not worth watching. I can't tell you the last time I watched the evening news, but I know this right here. I could turn it on tonight and it would be the same thing it was the last time I turned it on. A bunch of killing and robbing and mugging and shooting and this is going to happen, this other thing going to happen. And you're thinking, man, I just want to get back to my Bible reading.
Amen.
It's not that I'm putting my head in the sand. It's just that, look, I know without looking at it, that's what goes on. And he's looking at this thing. He says, and madness is in their heart while they live. And after that, they go to the dead. He said, man, here's an evil thing. He said, all this stuff's going on. Guess what? And they live and they die. I mean, what a thing. Well, see, if you look at things under the sun, that's how you're going to see things.
Exactly.
Do you know that the more you study this book, and I know I can't touch all the wisdom of it, but if you study the philosophers, Hegel and Spinoza and that whole bunch, all these, you know, Philo and all this stuff, you know, it's supposed to be real smart. Look, they had this, Solomon talked about this way before they were around. It's the same, all lost people deal with the same issues. You know, there's one guy, his name escapes me right now. I cannot think of this guy's name, but he's getting a lot of media attention right now. And so I read some of his articles, and the guy is... You know what his problem is? He's lost. He is so smart, he's dumb, if that makes any sense. He's got a lot of facts. Here's his thing. He said, Christians believe in God. He said, I refuse to believe in a God that's letting babies starve and there's people that has needs and people sleeping on the streets and all that stuff. Right here. He said, You know what that guy would say? He's saying the same thing Solomon said. Under the sun, I'm looking around, and bad things are happening to good people, and good things are happening to bad people. What's going on? There's no way there's a God. He's looking at it under the sun. That's why you have to look at it from a heavenly perspective. God does not settle accounts here on earth. He settles accounts on the other side over there. Now it says, for to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. Now, you see, as his sermon's getting closer and closer to chapter 12 to his conclusion, he's changing his mind on things a little bit. I'll just give you one. We want to go to chapter 6, verse 5, but let's go to chapter 7, verse 1. Just turn to your left one page. chapter 7, verse 1, it says, a good name is better than precious ointment in the day of death than the day of one's birth. You see how under the sun, you see how one day you'll say, man, it's better to be alive. You know, he said, a living dog's better than a dead lion. Then the other day he said, man, it's better to die. That's you see how your feelings fluctuate in the wind? You have to understand under the earth there's going to be things that happen to you. And some days you're going to be thinking, man, it'd just be better. Like one prophet said, it'd be better if I wasn't ever born.
Right.
You know, you got some of them like Moses. He wished he was dead at one point. Elijah did the same. I'm no better than my father. Just kill me. I mean, what happens is you get frustrated. But you can't think, okay, this thought came through my mind, I must be going crazy. You have to understand, you fluctuate mentally under the sun. Your mind and your feelings are going to fluctuate here. She's so cute, I can't help but to want to pick her up. But see, that's what happens under the sun. Look, you're going to get frustrated. Especially, look, here's another thing that frustrates you. Solomon's talking about this stuff, and he's trying to figure things out. If you ever got so frustrated and you're trying to figure something out, and you get to a problem and you can't figure it out, and you're, man, you don't know what to think. Well, you got to understand, here is an earthly mindset. That's why over and over and over, I don't think I could ever drill it enough that reading your Bible is so important, because all the answers are there.
Yeah. Right.
The thing is, you can't figure out on your own. And Solomon has gotten away from the Lord, and that's what he's telling you. He had got this mind, he'd asked for wisdom so he could govern those people. And you know what? The more he gets away from the Lord, and the more he does what the Word of God told him not to multiply horses, he multiplied horses. The Word of God said don't multiply wives, he multiplied wives. And the Word of God said don't go down to Egypt for your horses, and he went down to Egypt for your horses. And guess what happened? His wisdom got more and more and more corrupted. You know what was the trouble with Satan? His wisdom got corrupted. He had wisdom. The Lord said he was full of wisdom and beauty and all these things, but it all got corrupted. You know what? You can have all kinds of wisdom, but you can corrupt that thing.
Right.
And you can get to where years ago, that's what happens to a lot of people. Years ago, they had all this wisdom, and they had things, man, they were, you know, blessing the Lord and helping others and stuff like that. And all of a sudden, a lot of times, people don't finish well. You know what it has to do with? They stop serving God like this, and guess what happens? Their wisdom gets corrupted. There's been a lot of people who in the earlier years served the Lord, but a lot of them don't finish well. You know what we're hoping to do is finish well. The Apostle Paul said, I have finished my course. You know, it's amazing. How you going to finish your course? How you going to finish your fight? Get well, not get on the course of this world.
That's it.
The course of this world, if you get on that thing, why? It's under, the world is under the sun, this world system, and it's a confusing world. Okay? It says this, for the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. It's a good Jehovah's Witness verse right here. I've heard them put this down on me before. Neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Now, let me just read verse 6 for some context. Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. The context of that verse is under the sun on earth. They say the dead know not anything. That's why they teach annihilation. And Jehovah's Witnesses would use that verse right there, a verse that's in Ecclesiastes where the man is talking about things under the sun without the revelation that you have today. And they take that and they try to teach false doctrine with it. But let me show you something about this, though. For the living know not for the living know that they shall die. Let me show you something about that. Everybody knows that they're going to die, but they don't know when they're going to die. I want to give you two verses. Look at Genesis 37. Genesis 37. This is amazing. Little nuggets like this are amazing to me. Genesis 37. And we're going to look at Genesis 37, verse 35 in just a minute. Now, here's Isaac. and I mean, not Isaac, but Jacob. And Jacob's, it's amazing how he lived his early years as a deceiver. And that now his children deceive him a good bit on things. But he's telling his kids in this story here that if something happened to Joseph, he thinks he's going to die. Now he means this. Look at Genesis 37, verse 35, and says, "And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, 'For I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning.' Thus his father wept for him." He said that right there, and you know what happens? 20 years later, he finds out his son wasn't dead, and he lived 20 years after he made that statement. See, he thought he was going to die. He knew, okay, this is it. This is going to be the thing that gets me. You know what I'm trying to show you is life is unpredictable under the sun. He literally thought he was going to die, and he lived 20 more years. Okay, let me show you one more. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 20. 1 Samuel chapter 20. Now, I'm trying to draw this with you, and maybe this will be a help to you. You get these things, and we've seen it, and I know y'all have seen it, and I've lived long enough to see. I don't know what it is about doctors, but they'll tell somebody, they say, well, the doctors gave them 6 months to live. Mm-hmm. The doctor didn't give them anything. Let me tell you that I'm thankful for doctors. There's good, godly doctors. I'm glad that they studied all that stuff and practiced that. But let me tell you, they do not know. They can give an educated guess. That's why the saying is they are practicing medicine. Practicing it. And because, girl, you are so cute. They're practicing medicine. Now, huh?
I don't like them practicing on me.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, they practice a lot. Now look at this, 1 Samuel chapter 20, and look at something David said here in verse 3. Look at mid-verse, it says, "And as thy soul liveth," he says, "there is but a step between me and death." He at that time, he's saying, look, things are getting so bad, and he knew that Saul was he was saying, look, I'm about to die here. He thought Saul was just killing. And I'm sure there's been times in our life we thought, I'm fixing to die, I'm not going to make it through this. But you know what you have to realize? That the Lord ultimately is over everything. The Lord's the judge. Now, here's the thing, though. We're going to see a verse here in just a little bit about time and chance. The Lord does and He can intervene, but He don't always intervene. That's what you've got to get. So, under the sun, things are so unpredictable that He's saying, look, they know they're going to die, but you got to understand, even though the Bible said it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment, you don't know when you're going to die. Look, there's been people who have lived lives up to 100 and over 100 years old. You don't know. And look, sometimes there's been folks, I was telling y'all about this one runner, and this guy was running. I guess I may not ought to use this good illustration of this guy was 99 years old, and he was in this thing, and I think it was like a 3 mile deal or something like that, and he come up there and he finished pretty well in it, but he's 99 years old. So they was thinking, man, this guy's going to give us some wonderful piece of advice, you know, of how he lived this long and stuff like that. And this lady put this microphone to him, and he's smiling, you know, just glad he just made it and everything. She said, "Sir, what is the secret of your longevity?" He said, "I don't know." He said, "I've been running a long time." He said, "I eat about a pound of bacon a week." And he said, "I smoke 2 Lucky Strikes a day." That guy made it to 99 years old. See, you can't see. A lot of times, we're living in a society now where they want you to think if you eat all this rabbit food, you eat all this type of stuff, and they got all these little things that you can't predict it.
No,
you can. It's good. I think it's good to drink water and do all that stuff. But look, there's some people don't drink any water, and they're more healthy than people drink water. So what I'm saying is, a lot of that stuff is stuff that we kind of think, okay, this is the way to do that thing. I tell you what the best thing to do is just serve the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And follow Him and enjoy your days. And look, some people have got a lot of days and some people don't. And look, praise the Lord either way. Because it's unpredictable. Now, just because it's unpredictable don't mean you need to go out here and not look both ways and stuff like that. Now, that's not the way to live. But I'm just saying, you have to understand that things are, and that's what he's trying to show you. Under the sun, it's unpredictable. You don't know. He says, but see, that neither have they any more reward. What's that got to do? That has to do with here on earth. Why? Because right now, you have got a time that you can serve God, you can do that. This is the time to pray, this is the time to witness, this is the time to study and stuff like that. But I'm going to tell you something, once you die and you go be with the Lord, all the stuff that you could have done here and all that type of stuff is done. As far as your earthly service is over with, and we have to keep that in our mind. Now he says this: the memory of them is forgotten. On the sun, it's amazing how fast things are forgotten. It's amazing. Somebody that's one thing I still talk about people that I know that's passed and stuff like that. Well, in a lot of ways, I don't want them to die. As far as the memory, I still tell stories and stuff like that about people that I know. But ultimately speaking, those of us in this room and anybody born, you got to understand that the majority of the world would never even know that you existed.
That's right.
So what's the best thing to do? Things that you've done for the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what will last out in eternity. Things that give Him glory. How can the thing go on? Is that there are things that people do here on earth and the reward goes out because of what they did for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way to actually have a lasting memory. Why? Everything on this earth that's done here, that's like those pyramids. I've got all kind of books about the pyramids. I like those. I think it's really neat. That's one thing. I don't tell y'all a lot of my opinions on that stuff because I don't get spooky weak, but I think the pyramids are fascinating. But guess what? One of these days, they're going to be done. They're going to be gone. There's only the things that exalt and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why no matter how much time I spend in this book, it's never wasted time. Why? Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass. You're never wasting time doing things that has to do with the Word of God, applying the Word of God to your life. That'll go out. But things that you have to do here, look, it's going to be a day when it's gone. It's done. All right. It says this, also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Man, that's a humbling thing. Your love and hatred and stuff like that. All right. Now, as far as earthly perspective, yeah. But you got to look at a heavenly perspective. Charity never fails.
Yes.
You know, faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest is charity. Why does it say that? Because faith, one of these days I won't need faith because my faith is going to be sight. Hope, one of these days I won't have to have hope because the Lord Jesus Christ is my hope and I'm going to see Him. But guess what? Charity, things that I do for others that will go out forever and ever and ever. Why? Because not only are we going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to serve one another. That's going to be part of that thing and it'll last forever and ever. But hatred's going to be something, you know, say, you know, some of these people, and they got these vendettas and they, you know, these bitterness in their heart and stuff like that. Hatred's going to die out. All that's going to burn out and die out. So you know what? All we're doing, anything that we hate, unless you hate evil, you either love the Lord or hate evil. Unless you hate evil, guess what? All that hatred's going to die one of these days. Get these people, got these lifelong enemies and stuff like that. It's so bad. Why? Wasting time, hating, wasting time, all that stuff. You know, whatever. All that stuff's going to be burned up one of these days. Wood, hay, and stubble, just wasted time.
Yes.
He says over there, is now perished, neither have they any more a portion forever, and anything that's done under the sun. So earthly perspective, that stuff's going to be gone. All right, now it says in verse 7, go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart, for God now accepteth thy works. What he's saying, right now is the time to enjoy these things. Enjoy it in the Lord. There's nothing wrong with enjoying earthly things in the Lord. There's nothing wrong with, there's no sin in eating and drinking and being merry, but the sin comes whenever all you do is eat and drink and get to the place where the Bible says all they did was eat and drink and they rose up to play. You know, type of, I just forgot the verse. But anyway, we're living in a society now where all they want to do is eat and drink, be merry. That's not the whole thing about life. Why? Because he talks later on about labor. It's got to be a balance there.
Yeah.
The trouble is when you get unbalanced. That's how you lose your joy. That's one reason why this world's losing their joy. Not only because they don't love the Lord, don't serve the Lord, don't know the Lord, but another reason is because, look, you're not going to have joy in your heart if you don't work and you don't do things that God set up to do. You won't enjoy your rest anyway. You know one reason why, like tonight, I'm enjoying this right here? I've been working. So now this is a blessing to me to be around other Bible believers. Why? Y'all are a refreshment to me. Why? It just breaks the monotony of things. You've been working with your hands and stuff like that. And it's a blessing to be around other folks that love the Lord. Well, you can't enjoy that if all you've been doing is nothing. Like this world, all these kids, look, cell phones, some of these cell phones are expensive, man. I don't know who buys them. And another thing, too, for them to just sit around not doing nothing all day long, they wonder why depression's so high. It's because they need to be doing something because it's a blessing in your mind and heart to accomplish something. Man, whenever you get finished with a project, isn't it a blessing to be done with that thing?
Amen.
I mean, you think, man, I got that finished. Let me go on to the next thing. That's a blessing. But I hate that we're living in a society now largely that doesn't know the blessing of completing a task. Well, you know what? He's seeing a lot of these things here. He's saying, look, right now it's a good thing to enjoy stuff while you can. He says in verse 8, let thy garments be always white, and let thy head lack no ointment. Now, let me look at. I'm not going to turn to the Deuteronomy 22:11 passage about the garments. Priestly wise, their garments were supposed to be white, and they weren't supposed to be mixed. They were supposed to have one white garment. So what he's saying is, for one thing, you need to be clean. All right, and to say, how can I apply this? Let me show you how to rightly divide the word. I know that don't apply to me, so what can I do? What would apply to me as far as being clean, garments being white? Ephesians 5:26, cleanse you with the washing of the water of the word. Okay, as far as I'm concerned, you know how to stay clean? Stay in the word of God. Always keep a study going on. Always have something. Always have a question that you're trying to study out, something like that. What does that do? That keeps your mind occupied with heavenly things instead of earthly things. Look, the thing is about the Bible, if you'll walk according to the Word of God, that Word of God is clean. Okay? And the fear of the Lord is clean. And you know what happens? As you walk in the Word of God, that cleanses your way. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to that Word. You know what happens? It cleanses your way, and as you go, you're walking on a cleaner path. Okay, if you want to have your garments white, stay in the Word of God. Stay around the water of that thing. See, the trouble is, people want to, if you've been around somebody, and I'm... my illustration getting worse instead of better, I guess. You've been around somebody, they've been working a whole lot and stuff, and they ain't got time to take a shower or something, so I'm going to run to Walmart. So they spray on some cologne or something on top of all that sweat and everything. And you know what it does? All it does is magnify the stench. Okay, well, you know what people try to do? There's nothing wrong with listening to sermons. There's nothing wrong with reading books about the Bible. There's nothing wrong with talking to other Christians. Nothing wrong with these things. But you know what happens if you don't get in the Bible itself?
Yes.
And look at that Bible and let that Bible clean you up. It's the same thing as, look, I'm just going to spray on this perfume a little bit when I've been walking around in the Word of God, you know, in the world without the Word of God. And what happens is it just magnifies it. Why? Because, look, the Word of God is what's going to get you rooted and grounded. The Word of God is what's going to get you clean and stuff like that. But knowledge without the grounding of the Word of God puffeth up. So if you're not rooted and grounded, you know what happens? You get out of balance. So a lot of these people, they've heard a lot of these sermons. Are they, you know, when we go to church on Sunday, say, that's just the perfume. We've been over here and we've talked to these folks about the Lord, and we went to so-and-so, went to this study and all this type of stuff. That's just the perfume. You see, without the Word of God, what happened? That's how come people, a lot of times, you can't stand to be around. They're mean as a yard dog, man. Well, no, they think they're better than everybody else. You know what happened? Because they're not staying in the Word of God. And you know what that Word of God will do? It'll keep you humble. The more I study the Word of the Lord, the more I realize I don't know. I got a text from a brother earlier before I came, and he and I were talking about a verse, and he sent me some verses, and they were right in front of my face on the thing, and I thought, I've read that no telling how many times, and he saw it, but I didn't see it. And I think that's very humbling. Why? Because I've looked at it, but even though I've read through that thing, he's seen stuff in there that I didn't see in there, and I thought, thank the Lord for the help.
Yeah.
See, that's a blessing. That's one thing. That's why we need each other. It keeps you humble. Why? Because I don't have all the truth. I've got whatever the Lord showed me, but I need other people, and it's a blessing to be able to talk with others about verses, because it helps me to be able to be a help to y'all. And that's humbling. Why? Because you can't do it all yourself. See, we're part of the body, and the body helps each other. Everybody is not a hand, everybody's not a foot, and I'm glad. If I had a body that was all a hand, what good would that do?
Right.
You got to have everything works together. And it's a blessing that we have that. And so he says, let thy hand lack no ointment. Let me show you this thing about this ointment. Look at Psalm 133. And just turn to your left, well, I don't know, 20 or 30 pages maybe. I want to read this thing about unity here. So ointment, cleanness, the cleanness got to come first. If you're not clean, what good would it do to have ointment on you if you didn't have the cleanness? So the cleanness of the Word of God's got to come first. You see this application we can make? See, the application is not the interpretation. The interpretation comes first. You're in the Old Testament in Ecclesiastes. He's talking about priestly garments, and then he's talking about literal ointment. But we can see some of these things that will help us spiritually. So he says in Psalm 133, verse 1, behold, how good and pleasant is it for brethren to dwell together in unity. And he's even got an exclamation point. Man, that's a blessing there. But the context is unity. It is like the precious, so it is like. Unity is like this, the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard. Man, that's a good verse right there. I wish I'd remembered that back when people was making fun of my beard. Even Aaron's beard that went down through the skirts of his garments. Okay, so he's a priest and it went down on the garments, and that's what unity is like. That's a blessed thing, because see, the priest had to be cleansed, but then he had to be anointed with that ointment. It's a picture of the Holy Spirit. Okay, there's the picture of the Holy Spirit. What's our unity? You don't have to turn there because you probably already know this verse, but Ephesians 4 verse number 3, here's our unity. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You see, the Spirit is what has the unity. The flesh the flesh does not want to be in unity.
That's right.
So he even admits that it's an endeavor to do that. Okay, what Solomon's talking about, the blessing here, and y'all, it's a blessing to be clean. So the Word of God will keep you clean, and if the Word of God keeps you clean, then you can have unity.
Yeah.
But you can't have unity without the Word of God. Look, I don't want unity without the Word of God. Well, that's how the world operates.
That's right.
They want to get together and they want to have peace without the Word of God. And you can't have peace without the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, being first. Unity without Jesus Christ is dangerous. Let me tell you, some people talk about, well, we need to be in one accord. They stoned Stephen in one accord. They were all unified in their stoning of Stephen. In Genesis chapter number 11, they were all unified in their one world government. You have to have Jesus Christ to have true unity. Otherwise, it's going to be devilish unity. Okay? We get on down. He says in Ecclesiastes 9:9, live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity. I think that's so funny, because he says the wife. Solomon had about 700 and 300 concubines. You know what he's saying? It's best to have the wife. See, a lot of times you give advice kind of like do what I say and not how I do type deal. He knows. Here's a man who's had to have. They would marry for power. And that's what that thing. It's not like he was sitting over here with 700. What he's doing is he's marrying these different ones for power. And you know what happened? The more he joined all these other people there, it was just bringing less and less unity. And guess what? His garments were not what they were supposed to be. Why? Because the priest wasn't supposed to do that. Also, the ointment, that there was a unity there. You think he really had unity whenever all the other ones were looking at him saying, "You got 700 wives, man. 300 concubines. It's hard for me to be in you." If he wasn't a king, he sure would have been kicked out, I can tell you. You see, but see, the thing is, they knew there was nothing they could do about it, so it was unspoken. And see, that's how things are. Let me tell you, if you get to the place where you're not walking with the Lord, other people are not going to. They're not going to approach you about it for the most part, but I tell you this right here, it'll hurt your unity with them. Y'all, there are a lot of people. You know, the more I learn about the Bible and stuff like that, I realize a lot of people want to hold to their bondage more than you ever thought. And whenever you realize you've got the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a sad thing to see that people want to keep others in bondage. And you say, you know, the Lord preaches you're supposed to set the captives free. Why would you stand up there and tell them people that if they miss a Sunday, their car's going to break down? Well, y'all, that's dangerous. I'm learning more and more that's used to. I'd say, well, you know, he don't know. But now I'm realizing something. Why does that man want to do that? Show me the verse that says that if you miss a Sunday, that God's going to break your car down. Show me the verse that says if you don't pray so-and-so, you know, you got some of these guys, they make out like they pray a long time. No, they don't. You know what the Sadducees and Pharisees, the Lord got on to them about? They made their long prayers. You got a lot of these people, I pray for an hour a day. No, you don't. You know what the best thing for you to do? Most of your prayers in the Bible are short prayers. What did Simon Peter say when he's in trouble? Lord, help me. Lord, save me, maybe it was. It was just three words. Nehemiah prayed, and Nehemiah just threw up a prayer and said, "Lord, I need you." Something along those lines. Most of the prayers in the Bible are short. What you're supposed to do, y'all, is keep a running conversation on with the Lord. Why? It's not forced. I'm not going to force myself and get down here and say, 15 minutes, Lord, I'm supposed to get down. You got to think of this thing. Here's the picture. What if I told Carl, all right, you got 10 minutes. We're going to visit 10 minutes right here. That'd be awful, man. What kind of friendship is that? That's what people do with the Lord. They're like, Lord, okay, I got 30 minutes from 6 to 6:30. I'm praying down here. Look, just however long. Sometimes you get to talking to the Lord about something, you talk to Him a long time, but let it be real.
That's
something I want y'all to realize about your prayer. Like, don't put that thing in. That's bondage, man.
Yes,
look, you just pray with the Lord, and sometimes you got a lot to say, sometimes you got a little bit to say. God knows it, but God knows if you're forcing to say something. That Bible never tells you how long to pray. You just pray. It just says praying always. What's that? Well, you know I can't just stay down on the ground all the time. So what's that mean? You got to constantly stay in an attitude of prayer.
That's
just
right.
Calling out on the Lord. It don't mean you have to get down here for so-and-so amount of time, for some length of time. You see that? But you know what that is? If you don't keep that thing up, you know it's going to hurt your walk. And other people oftentimes can see, look, when I've been working before, man, that metal stinks, man. I've been around people before, man, after I've been polishing for hours and hours, I get around somebody and they go, "Yeah, oh yeah." And what they're doing is they're backing off a little bit because look, after a while, metal has a certain smell to it, you know. Well, I can't tell it. I've been around it all day. Well, if you haven't been walking with the Lord, you haven't been walking in the Word of God, the thing is, you're the last one that can sense it.
Yeah.
Other people's, whoo. Yeah, it's like you get around some folks and look, they just saved as me and you. But you know what happens? A lot of them around this and around this other thing, they're checking it. And if you don't renew your mind in the Word of God, before long you'll adopt that same stuff and they'll start letting them fly.
Yeah.
They're saved. It's because you use bad language. Look, salvation is not bad language. You know, well, someone, ain't no way they could be saved. You get around a whole bunch of folks and you don't renew your mind, see if you don't adopt some of that same stuff.
Yes, you will.
You got to understand that. And look, a lot of times there's people that say things and they don't even realize they said it. It don't mean they're lost.
That's right.
It means that they've got to walk in the wrong direction. And I tell you something, that stuff will affect you. And so here he is, he's saying this stuff about this wife, and it's got to the place where he's literally transferred the word life with the days of thy vanity. That's not the way to think, folks. Life is not vanity. But under the sun, you'll think that. It says, for that is thy portion in this life, I've got a life to come. Let's see. When you know you have a life to come, this life isn't all. That's what gets me excited. It's hard not to raise your voice. It says, and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. Watch this. Here's something. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do if thou might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. See, I wish the Jehovah's Witness would have read down to there. That when he's talking about the living, and he talks about the dead, know not anything, verse 5, if they'd have read that, the whole context is going to the grave. Look, my body is going to the grave, but bless the Lord, thank the Lord, my soul is going to glory in the heavens. Man, ain't that a good thing right there? That'd make you want to... I just praise the Lord right there. Now see, what you do, do it with your might. Paul talks about that in Colossians 3:23. Whatsoever thing you do, you ought to do it heartily as unto the Lord. Look, a Christian ought to be somebody that they can trust. If there's a guy right across from me, and he covers seats, and everybody tells you he's a Christian, you know what? He covers seats as good as anybody you ever seen. Man, he does these dentist chairs and stuff like that. And you know what? I've heard people talk about him, and they say, Bobby does an excellent job, and that man's a Christian. If you do something, do it with your might. My football coach, I wasn't real good at football. But I'd get out there, if nothing else, he'd say, get out there and just knock his knees out. Now, like I said, I wasn't real good, but he could send me out and do something like that. He'd say, look, if you mess up big. That's what he'd tell me. You know what? If you're out here, no, we're going to mess up. But go out here and do something for the Lord. Get something done for him. Do it with your might.
That's right.
If a Christian does something, I'm going to tell you, it's embarrassing to me to see a lost man outwork a Christian. Yeah. I know I may be getting in the flesh saying that, but that's embarrassing to me. I think a Christian ought to be known for being somebody you can count on. They ought to be on time. Amen. When the man says be there, it's 7:30, you ought to be there at 7:30. And if he says you're going to work to 5 o'clock, work until all you can do to 5 o'clock. Why? Because it's worth doing it correctly. You got all this stuff in here. He's saying whatever your hand finds to do, look, do it. Why? Because one day, there's going to be no more work. There's going to be no more device. There's not going to be no more time to study or anything else. That's one thing, you know, the Bible talks about the labor and in the Word of God. It may be a labor, but it's worth every single bit of it.
Yes, it is.
That's like the man, me and Brother Brett's been studying and talking to and getting a blessing out of. I'm glad there's somebody out there studying the Word of God we can get some help from. I love to talk to people, you know, about the Bible and stuff like that. I like running across people that don't want to hoard up all their knowledge. Some people know Bible, and here's the thing about they don't want to tell you what they know. That makes me mad. I'm like, hey, why are you studying it if you don't want to tell me? Look, I've got some questions. Look, I'm telling you, I'll worry you to death. If I find somebody knows the Bible, man, I'll worry you to death. I'll find out everything. I want to find out what you know. When I ran into Brother George down there in that apartment that day, I may have told y'all this story. I ran into that guy, and I found out he knew his Bible. And this has been years ago now. And man, I brought my notebook down there. And I sat down there with him, and I sat down there at that kitchen table, and I said, look, I want to know what you know. And man, I started writing stuff down. That man was flipping in that Bible and all this type of stuff. I thought, man, thank the Lord. I ran into somebody. And guess what? Just in a little length of time, what he was able to show me, I grew in that length of time a good while because a man took time because he'd been working and studying. So you know what? What you're learning right now, it's a blessing. It's worth it. All the praying that you're doing, it's worth it. the fact that we come here together and we meet together, and I know you have to take time out, I understand that, and drive, and but it's worth it to do it. Why? Because other people are getting a blessing whether you know it or not. If nothing else, you're staying clean, and when other people get around you, guess what? It's a refreshing to get around you. Why? If nothing else, you smell better, spiritually speaking, than the lost world does. Y'all, sometimes, you ever had been around somebody that's got some just, some of these people wear this fruity stuff, and Shiloh got some fruity stuff she wears, and it just smells good. Well, it's a blessing. Well, sometimes, y'all, that Bible talks about being a good savor to the Lord. It's a blessing just sometimes not to worry, like being around y'all. It's a blessing. I don't have to worry about y'all using bad language and stuff. Y'all, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? It's worth it to stay clean where whenever other people are around you, you don't understand what a blessing it is just to be able to talk to somebody who is not down on everything and don't bring up all the stuff that's going on in the world. I like being around y'all. Why? Because look, this world's not my home anyway. What if everything went wonderful and man, all the stuff that they complain about, what if all that stuff happened? Let me tell you, I've learned this. They'll find something to complain about. You know, that's like the one lady. I try my best. When she walks by, I try to cheer her up every single day. And she'll be going by there and I'll say, "Ain't it a beautiful day today?" "Yeah, but your shot blocks the sun off of me sometimes. It's real pretty out here." And I'm thinking, "What? Box the sun?" Thinking, but you know what? There are people who will find something. Like I said, she's a nice lady, but she knows how to, you know, that's like I told you about the one time. She said, it was a beautiful, man, beautiful. And she said, "It's going to rain Friday." And I thought, that's a long time. You know what this world tries to do? And we'll pick it up in verse 11 next time because it's going to take me a little while about this. But y'all, we need to be people who, when other people get around us, we're clean because we've been in the Word of God.
Amen.
And that they can at least get a refreshment instead of just all that old, just a bad report. And you know what? God's going to count that. I can tell you something. When you walk with Him and you study your Word, and y'all know how to study. The Bible says you study right and divide. You know what that'll do? That will give you peace. You'll be out of that bondage. And you know what happens? Because you're set free, you might be just the one. Here's somebody there in bondage, not physically, but spiritually. You might be the very one that's able to turn that key on that lock and let them out of that cage, man. And man, they'll be able to thank the Lord I got out of here. I didn't realize how bad a bondage. Y'all, there's people in bondage. They think they're going to lose their salvation. Some people are thinking that they're in a performance system. They got to do this, got to do this, got to do this to be accepted. When the Bible says you're accepted in the beloved already, all these things. People mentally are in all kinds of things. And they think they've done something bad to make God mad. God's done this. God's not up there with a lightning bolt trying to strike you every 5 minutes. That's not God. Once you're accepted in the beloved, you got to understand, we'll talk about time and chance does happen to them all. But you know what? God intervenes a whole lot. God helps us more than we ever thought.
Yeah,
he is. And He sure is good to even be mindful of us, I can tell you. We'll close it out. Brother Mike, if you would close.
Yeah,